Good morning. I was paying attention the whole time, Nathaniel, except when I realized that you were thumping on something up here and I didn't know what was. I didn't see why you were.
The screen had a line across the middle of it, and I couldn't see the words.
But it was up here okay, or see, I didn't. I didn't know. Okay. I've often felt that way during a sermon when it just wasn't quite going like I thought. Come over here and get it moving. So, it worked. I may try that. We'll see that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God Most High, that we can come before you openly, politically, I mean in this room, that we can come before you, and that much more so, Lord, that in Jesus' name we can come before you to worship you, to thank you, to praise you, and to learn more about you, Lord, even just to be with you. We thank you for that, for this time together with you, and we pray that you would bless it. Lord, I pray you would fill me with your Spirit, and pray that it would be for all our growth and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A friend, co-worker this last week, fractured his ankle on the ice. He was a young guy, younger than me even. And he described it. He said, I started to slip, he said, and my foot was going out, and we've all done that. I can't reenact it too well up here or up home. But then he came down on it, and his ankle was at a bad angle and fractured it, just broke it really badly. So I'd like the PowerPoint, if I may. Is it working up? It's there. If I can't have the PowerPoint, no, I had it up. There you go. Had the date on it and everything. It's right on there. As I was saying, my friend, it's on the desktop. I had it up. Psalm 73. Don't make me come back there. We're just all friends here. This is so much for the Hollywood intro. Now I'm gonna go straight to the skydivers, because the first special effect didn't work. But we've all experienced that moment when it just starts to go really wrong, right? And it could be falling. We've all fallen. Physically, I'm talking about. One of my most embarrassing experiences in my whole life was 2 or 3 years ago that I was actually leading a delegation, I guess, of important people around the college, and we were in one of the workshop areas. And so there I was, and I had, didn't think about it, but I had stopped right beside a pallet. And actually, the pallet was on this side. But I stopped right beside the pallet, and then we turned to go, and my leg was just locked there, and I just did the flailing thing, and it felt like it took about 5 minutes to fall down. I mean, it was just slow motion all the way, and they're always flailing us, and there was no way I could keep my balance. I should have just sat down, but grace was not a part of that, suffice it to say. Wouldn't it be interesting if you could freeze frame that, like we do in technology, and you kind of walk around. This is where the person is falling. This is where they're, you know, where this is what they did wrong. This is, you know, how they regained their balance or didn't regain their balance, whatever. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to look at someone who almost stumbles. If you would look at Psalm 73, and we're going to walk around it, and I'll run it. I got better. We're going to read it as we go through it. We're not going to read it all out loud at the start. But I want you to notice, the trip, the journey, I guess, better said, the journey that the psalmist goes through as he does this. This happens to all of us. This is a frequent thing, and it is a common, I would say even a common thing. I think it could happen on the big things. We all know people who morally, now I'm talking, who spiritually have stumbled and never gotten up. And we all know people ourselves who have stumbled or almost stumbled, didn't quite fall. So, if you would, join me in the journey of walking through this together. So we have, first of all, almost stumbling. That's how the little outline we have, very simple this morning. Almost stumbling. And then we have entering the sanctuary. And then we have going on, is how we're going to go through the psalm. Very poetic, very lovely psalm. It's actually divided up more elegantly into, what, four? Well, anyway, it's got stanzas of four verses each and so forth. But this is how we're going to look at it this morning. So, first of all, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. He starts out by just stating a fact. God is good. Got it, right? God is good. And he emphasizes it by saying, surely God is good. It's a sure thing. It's a statement that you'll see that the psalmist has come to after much travail, much work. He has come to this. This is not a light thing. Surely God is good to Israel. Now, we are not Israel. We're not Israel. The church didn't exist at this time. The Lord Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so we're not the same thing as Israel. In Ephesians it says the mystery of Christ and the church was hidden from ages and generations previously. And in Acts No, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Just a side note here, but important. I don't think we do too much error in this, but it's important because it's a widespread fallacy today that we're Israel, and therefore everything that happens to Israel happens to us so that we can claim all these things. That is not true. It says, give no offense, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. And I think that still is the division of mankind. There's Jews, there's non-Jews, there's the church of God. God is good to Israel, but we know it's for us because he says, to those who are pure in heart. Now, we're not pure in heart until we've been washed in the blood. But this is for us as believers. Surely God is good to Israel. And it's interesting that that is a universal conception almost of God, that God is good. And when people move away from the God is good, they pretty soon move to the God doesn't exist. It seems like that happens just because in our nature we know that God is good. Surely God is good to Israel. Back to our psalm. To those who are pure in heart. But as for me, which is why we sang the two songs, but as for me. And that's where we're going to go with the application. That's where the psalm starts, where it ends, and where we're going to go with our application. But as for me. That's where the problem is in the application, isn't it? But as for me. Applying it, learning it, going on with it. But as for me, God is good. God is good to Israel. God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, My feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. Almost slipped. So we go from a universal truth to a very, very specific person at a specific point in time. And again, we've all been there. My steps had almost slipped. And he tells why. This is where we're walking around and analyzing and looking at this person, picture of this person, almost falling, almost stumbling, almost ready to give up. For I was envious of the wicked. That's it. I was envious of the wicked. Now the psalm addresses the age-old question is, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? If God is good, then why this or why that? Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. We don't know when the psalm was written. Some think it was written in the Babylonian captivity. Imagine that. Supposedly, we're God's people. And here we are, we're slaves. Here we are, they took my kids. Here we are, how can that be? God is good to Israel. But as for me, my feet have come close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to be so humble sometimes? Thank you, Dale. That was a joke. The arrogant. Those who think they can live without God. Those who live their lives without God. We live in an arrogant, mocking age. You don't need me to tell that. As I saw the prosperity of the wicked, how well they do, there are, and he goes into great detail. This is what stumbles this man, this godly man who loves the Lord, as he looks around and he says, what's wrong with this world? Why is it this way? For there are no pains in their death. They go all the way to their death. And it's okay. And they even die easily. And their body is fat. This is back when fat was good. Because it meant you had enough to eat. I remember in Peru, they would if you wanted to compliment a woman, you would call her chubby. Gordita. So I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to make a personal application there. But that's a compliment because it means you have enough to eat. For there are no pains in their death and their body is fat. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. They just don't have the problems I do, Lord, so what's wrong? And therefore, look at this description of the world around us. The godless, successful person is what we're talking about. The successful worldling. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. Pride is their necklace. They're proud of their pride. Do you understand? Do we see this on the television, on people around us? Who gets ahead in the world, really? The ones that toot their own horn, the ones that pride is their necklace, their adornment. They're clothed in violence. They're clothed in it. They're so fat their eyes bulge out. That's how tough life is for them. And on the inside, their imaginations of their heart run riot, can do what they want. They mock. They mock. We live in an age that mocks God. They mock. And wickedly speak of oppression. They're oppressing God's people and they like it. They have set their mouth against the heavens. It's not enough to crush God's people. Now they're blaspheming God. And their tongue parades through the earth. You see this big flapping tongue walking around. It's just gross. It's grotesque. And then an odd verse. Therefore his people. I think the best translation is that their people, not God's people, but people return to this. And waters of abundance are drunk by them. I saw that in junior high, really. The ones that brag the most, the ones that are most self-assured, are the ones that have the group of followers that follow them around. Right? Are they right? Are they wrong? Well, of course they're right. They're saying they're right, and they don't care if they aren't. And waters of abundance, they have what they want. They have the abundance of the earth. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? behold, these are the wicked. And always at ease, they have increased in wealth. They have charmed lives. They're free from the ills of the world. They have what they want. And always at ease, they've increased in wealth. I'm going to take a minute to say that this is one way of almost stumbling, brother. This is one way of almost stumbling, but there's a lot of other ways you can almost stumble. There's a lot of ways you can give up. Moses in Numbers 11 was so pressured by the leadership of God's people that he said to God, "Please kill me at once." Joshua, in Joshua chapter 7, after being defeated by the people of Ai, he said, he gave up and he threw himself down before the Lord. Job almost stumbled because of his afflictions and said, "I loathe my own life." The mighty man of God, Elijah, after a tremendous victory, felt alone and had fear. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 said, "We despaired of life because of afflictions." And I think we can say the Lord Jesus himself in Gethsemane came to this very painful point. Behold, these are the wicked. And this man is stumbled because, or almost stumbled because, that's the way the world is around him. And here's the consequences in his heart. He says, "Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning." What's the point of it? Why go on? Why bother? Why try to be a good person? Why follow the Lord? The preliminary. This is the almost stumbling, but now we're starting to get to the hinge. "If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children." There's people watching you that are depending on you to follow the Lord. You understand that? There's people that are watching you that you don't know. And if you turn away from the Lord, if you stumble, you're going to stumble them. Do you understand? How many lives are affected by the people in this room? "If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children." So he's, "I can't give up. I can't give up. There's too many looking at me." And he tries to understand that the psalmist does. With his mind, he says, "When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. I tried to get to the bottom of this. I thought about it." He brooded on it, and he couldn't solve it. "It was troublesome in my sight." And here's the hinge. Here's the hinge on which it turns. "Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." That's when I realized, oh. So now we're in the entering the sanctuary. "Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." And now the whole tone changes. And this is what you have to do for yourself, brother and sister. You have to do this. "Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment." So I was looking and it seemed like they were doing so great, and I realized it's a catastrophe. "They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors." This is a catastrophic fall of those who were so secure in themselves. "Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form." You set them in slippery places. Who's in charge here, really? You with your resources, with your power, with your money? I don't think so. I think God's in charge. You just don't know it yet, Mr. Godly world, or Mr. Ungodly, successful worldling. "How they are destroyed in a moment. They're swept away like a dream." It was only a dream. Have you ever said that? You woke up, praise God, it was only a dream. And we're going to get there. And I'm going to say to you, it was only a dream. Amen? Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused. And it's not that God is sleeping, it's that God's justice is waiting. God's justice is waiting for the you do that one more time and I'm stopping this car. Right? When one awakes, O Lord, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered, and now he can look back on himself. This psalm is all about keeping your perspective, which is what we need to do. How to keep our perspective. And we already looked at the answer. It's by entering the sanctuary. It's by worship. It's by thinking about these things. Forgive me. It's by adoration. When we think, that's the start, but we don't get the perspective until we worship. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. I was an animal without a soul, without reasoning, without human faculties. I was an animal. And I'm sorry if you love your animal. They don't have eternal souls. They're not going to be in heaven. Human beings is why God created this world. We have the sovereignty. The Son of God died for us, for people. The priority is people. I was like a beast when I got distracted and thinking the wrong thoughts. Nevertheless, and it's like a wondering, it's a waking up and going, I was with you all the time. I didn't realize it. When I was wondering, when I was doubting, when I was upset, when I was yelling at you in my heart, God, I am with you. And a beautiful picture. You've taken hold of my right hand. I was starting to slip. And there was his hand. Do you get it? There was the hand. It's not that I recovered myself. It's not that I was so light on my feet or something. I'll tell you for a fact. It's that there was the hand. With your counsel, you will guide me. I'm paying attention this time, God. Your counsel, your word. It wasn't your fault. It was that I got away from thinking like you think. I got away from your thoughts. I got away from your eternal truths. I'm going to let you guide me now with your counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Whom have I in heaven but you? Heaven without God would be a waste to this man. That's kind of what we want sometimes. I want heaven. I want the no troubles, but to have God there and he's ruling and I do what he says. I mean, we would not admit this, but really, heaven is made by the presence of God. Whom have I in heaven but you? And you know what? More than just heaven. I desire nothing but you here. I want you here. Now, that's in fact, that's all I want. I want nothing beside you. I desire nothing but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Come what may. Happen what happen. He's got me. He's not letting go of me, and I'm going to cling on to this as best I can. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me. But as for me, you see, you have to do this individually. There's times we come alongside each other. We encourage each other. We help each other. And there's times when we need to reach out and call someone up and say, I need help. But there's also times when you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you have to live your own life in the Lord. And I have to live my own life in the Lord. But as for me is how we started. God is good to Israel. God is good. God is good. But as for me, I doubted. And as a result, I almost fell. And now he's saying, God is going to destroy all those who are unfaithful to him, but as for me, I'm snuggling in. It's good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. We tell them to the world, and that's called evangelism. We tell them to each other, and that's called encouragement. God does not comfort us so that we can live comfortable lives and do nothing. God works in us so that He can use us in others. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Now I'm meddling. Us. It's the same thing. We stumble. We almost stumble. Have you ever been to the point of just thinking of just giving up? Just, I'm tired of it. I just can't bear anymore. Are you there now? Are you there now? Now, we don't admit it, typically. That would not be spiritual. But I think it's actually fairly common. And I think we do it in little ways as well. We give up sometimes. We stumble because of unbelievers. They're getting ahead. They're living their lives. Some of them, you can see the obvious effects of sin in their life. But others, they're just going. They're just... The only difference is that I'm spending all my time on church stuff. More often, we're stumbled by other believers, others in the body of Christ. And it's like family, it's the ones you're around or the ones that you're going to have a problem with. Take it the other way. Are you stumbling someone else? We're stumbled by unbelievers. We're stumbled by unbelievers. We're stumbled by our circumstances. Problems I have that other people don't. And we all think, if they only knew what this was like, if they only knew. Well, you know what? Maybe we don't, and maybe we don't understand, but I know one that does. The poor me syndrome. And then there's just the emotions. The unexplainable, weird part of us that can feel great one minute and bad another minute, and I can't tell you why, really. But in the psalm, regardless of what the cause of stumbling or almost stumbling is, the answer is the same, and it's entering the sanctuary. It's an encounter with God. Entering the sanctuary. When they wrote this psalm, they couldn't even enter the most holy place. We can. You have unlimited access to God Most High anytime you want to go. Entering the sanctuary. If you're not saved by the blood of Christ, none of this applies to you. You've got to get right with Him first. And then you can enter the sanctuary. And we make this too hard, brothers and sisters. I've got to sit here for 2 hours and have spiritual thoughts. No, don't, maybe not 2 hours. For maybe 2 minutes. I'm serious. Read the Bible. Pray. This is what I need today, God, I think. And how about closing it, Bible, and just spend 2 minutes with God. Try it. Set the alarm. 2 minutes. Fill me with your Spirit. God, I don't understand this, but I'm just going to meditate. I'm going to think on you. And that meditation, that time with God, is when we move it from here to here. Do we have time for Him? Metaphorically, we do this once a week as a body. We enter the sanctuary to remember the one who died for us. And that's His time. And we think about Him. And we praise Him. And we remind each other of Him. And it was a wonderful time this morning again. Entering the sanctuary. And it's got to be But as for me, I'm going to do this. But as for me, Psalm 5, verse 7. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. Psalm 26, verse 10 and 11. In whose hands is a wicked scheme? Talking of the wicked, men of bloodshed, whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Psalm 31, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Psalm 69, the Lord Jesus, I think, applied this to himself. Those who sit in the gate talk about me, a majestically messianic song. Verse 12, and I am the song of drunkards, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. And we have two of the but as for me's in this passage. Entering the sanctuary. And once you do that, then you can go on. Focused on God and reminded of past experiences and refreshed. Oh. Now I remember. Whoops. It was all about the Lord Jesus all along. John 6. Verse 60. Many of his disciples, when they heard this difficult saying, they said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And the Lord didn't say, well, they're poor things. I'll take that back. I'm sorry. He asked them, does this cause you to stumble? Well, what if you see the real stuff? Verse 62. And he asks them in verse 67, you don't want to go away also, do you? You want to leave? He wasn't chasing them away, but he's saying, well, what about it? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? And isn't that why you're here today? To who else would we go? Who would I go to? What would I do? Were it not for the Lord. And if that's not the case, then why not just go for it and keep living it? The man that has nothing and has the Lord has the exact same thing as the man who has everything and has the Lord. If God is who we say He is. If you've fallen, then get back up and go on. If you're almost stumbling, then get your balance, get your sense of perspective. Let Him grab you with that almighty hand and get going. You fell down. You stumbled, or you almost stumbled. The game's not over. Get back up. Get in there. The next play. The next play. The next play. You can base your life on a lot of things. And we do, whether we realize it or not. You can base your life on the way it's always been done. Tradition. You can base your life on what other people say, the crowd. You can base your life on what feels right. Emotion. You can base your life on what you think is right. The mind, the intellect. Or we can base our lives on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you allow us to go through suffering so that others can see and learn and be encouraged. And we thank you for this man who we don't even know his name, who went through agony because he cared about you. And you held him. And he came through it. And we're so grateful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to cling to you. Give us a hunger and a thirst to be with you, to spend more time with you, to find different ways of doing that, to actually love you and to be present with you, Lord. We thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.